Enjoy fun adventures as you sail away together and experience the extraordinary marriage you desire. Join us in April 2025 for the Six Pillars at Sea Marriage Getaway. Yes, we are taking Six Pillars cruising and we want you to join us. Get all the details at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/getaway. Use promo code SHIPSAHOY to get $500 off your registration today. We'll see you there.
From San Diego, California, this is One Extraordinary Marriage Show, where being busy is overdone, romancing is fun, and scheduling sex has taken the guesswork out of wondering when you're going to get some. I'm Tony DeLorenzo, your co-host, along with my beautiful wife, Elisa. From coast to coast and around the world, thank you for joining us. It's time to talk sex, love, and commitment. Give us a call or text us on the Hug Hotline at 858-876-5663 or send us an email to hugs@oneextraordinarymarriage.com. In today's episode, we're talking about cherishing moments together and creating interactions that become your spouse's favorite present.
And speaking of presents, there's a quote, an anonymous quote that says, "The greatest gifts are not wrapped in paper. Rather, they are wrapped in love." And we're going to be unpacking that, pun intended, in today's episode. But we start every One Extraordinary Marriage episode with a hug. And a hug is really an opportunity to share what you're doing in your marriage, where you're taking action, the steps that you're doing to create your own extraordinary marriage. And this hug comes from a post in the One Family private Facebook group that says, there's a book titled The Six Pillars of Intimacy, and I recommend that every married couple read it. There's a pillar called recreational intimacy, which is about spending time together recreationally, and it has become our favorite of the six.
Wow.
It's crucial that you spend time with just your spouse, especially in the busyness of life, so you can check in and communicate with each other. Even if it's just a walk around the block with each other for a few minutes, do it. You won't regret it. We're so thankful that we came across this book, and I am so thankful for the woman that I get to share these adventures with. And goes on to say, thanks for another great adventure to my wife. When can we go on the next one?
I love it. And you know, it's really cool over the years since the Six Pillars of Intimacy came out, which ones attract and couples are focusing on, right? You know what I mean? And recreational intimacy, we've talked about it here just recently. You know, that's that closeness and connection around those activities and those fun things that you guys get to do together. And you know what? Those are important. And I just love hearing how it does impact different couples, how the pillars do impact and how it could be sexual intimacy and emotional intimacy, how it could be just emotional intimacy, or right now in a season, it's just financial intimacy. Wherever it is, one or two of those pillars can truly transform your marriage if you look at them and see the cracks and how you can strengthen it.
It's been so fascinating to watch over the last 2 years since Six Pillars of Intimacy was released, just the impact that it's had on so many marriages and really giving couples just the ability to talk about what's going on in their relationship. And I think a lot of that even ties into what we're talking about today about, you know, becoming or being your spouse's favorite present. And you know, the idea for this episode came out of a conversation I've been having. I mean, we're you know, closing in on Christmas as this episode is first released. And so, you know, one of the things that comes up in coaching conversations this time of year is the wrapping of presents, right? Okay. And so we've just been having this conversation about, you know, who wraps presents and who's buying presents and what does that look like? And can we make even wrapping presents, like this couple was talking about, recreational intimacy where we're doing it together and that type of thing. And I was sitting there in the middle of a session the other day and really got to thinking about more than just the stuff. Because for some of you, we know that there's going to be a lot of presents under the tree. Some people love that magic of Christmas and there's just presents and it's the tree and the lights and everything like that. And for some, you might be like, yeah, you know what? That's not really our thing. And so there's not going to be a lot of presents. And very specifically in this episode, we're not talking about how much or how little.
Right.
Is under the tree. That becomes an individual choice based on circumstances for every single one of you listening. But rather, this episode is really focused on becoming your spouse's favorite present. The one that they love to unwrap all the time, the one that is just so, so special. Because I want to encourage each and every one of you listening to think back to some of the most special presents that you've ever received. Maybe it was something that you had wanted for a really, really long time, or, you know, something that, you know, demonstrated that the gift giver really knew you, knew what you were interested in, picked out something that was so uniquely you that when you opened it, there was just such a connection between you and the person giving the gift. Or maybe it was a gift that like wasn't easy to find. And so you knew that there was a lot of time and effort that went into getting that gift. And I bet like each and every one of you, Tony's got a smirk on his face. I'm actually kind of curious. Like, are you thinking of something? Or are you just kind of in that moment of like memory lane?
No, I'm smiling because it's funny because whenever we talk about gifts like this, there are definitely specific moments over the years. And we shared one, I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago with the hiking Christmas.
Oh yes. The hiking Christmas.
That one always comes up. Overall though, I'm not so like, oh my gosh, I remember those gifts. Mm. I remember the emotion. I remember the feeling. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily remember the gifts. And especially those years when the children were younger, okay. I think there was more magical time for me personally because it was this excitement seeing them, but also finding things for you that were different or something just to show my love to you. Mm-hmm. I can't remember truthfully what those were. It's just one of those things I just don't pay much attention to it once it's done there. But I do remember the emotion, the feeling of just sitting on mom and dad's couch and around you and just holding you and watching the kiddos. And even mom and dad open their presents and aunts and uncles and others who are around. I remember that. Mm. And those were always my favorite presents.
Well, I think you tap into something really key there. It just even what you're sharing, like you might not actually remember the present, but a lot of you will remember the feelings, the emotions mm-hmm. that you experienced when it was something mm-hmm. truly special or when the moment was really just like, oh, this is an incredible moment. Like when you are in that place of giving and receiving and, you know, because a lot of times when either of you have gotten those really special presents, like, you know what you do with it, right? Like when you get like the present, whatever that might be, you can't wait to tell everyone. I mean, this is, you know, the day of social media, right? And, or the era of social media, I guess I should say. And so likely it's got a picture.
Yeah.
Right. You're raving about it. You're telling everybody about it. It's, you know, like Tony was saying, it's those memories that you still relive today. It has a prominent place, or it gets worn all the time, or it's driven all the time, or you know, like people know about that kind of present. Mm-hmm. Right. It's very rare that somebody gets a present like that and they're like, I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm going to keep it a secret, right? Because we want to know, because there, even in that sharing, there's a demonstration of appreciation mm-hmm. for the gift and for the giver of the gift. And really, you know, as we were preparing for this episode, that's what I wanted to talk about and share with each one of you. Like, what does it look like to go beyond getting, you know, the nice handbag or the power tool and getting into this place of saying, what happens if we become... If I become, like, let's not even make this a we thing, like, because we focus so much here at One Extraordinary Marriage on what can I do? Mm-hmm. What happens if I step into this place of saying, I want to be my spouse's best present this year? I want to be their favorite present this year. What does that do for me? What does that do for us? How do I show up? What do I do? Mm-hmm. Tony is like, this is when I wish we had video, because he is just like in this, like I'm watching your face today.
Yeah.
Probably more so. Like, you might be a little sentimental today. Yeah.
But yeah. No? I mean, I'm just trying to think of like, what does that look like? Mm. You know, as we step into a new year, you know, what does that, how do I step in and go, okay, how do I become Elisa's favorite present? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's what we're really talking about. And I think for anybody who's sitting here going, well, what does that look like for me? How do I do that? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think it's something that necessarily is discussed or even talked about in our lives. You know what I mean? It's such a different perspective to see ourselves and our spouse. And in this time of year, it is easy to give a gift that's wrapped and it's just like, here it is.
Right.
And yet, what does it mean for me to show up in our marriage and be your favorite present every day? Mm. That's
a really big question.
It is, and it's a I think a big concept to think through, right? Mm-hmm. And so for myself, I'm thinking, okay, what could I do, you know, for a week? You know, what could I do, you know, 15 days out of, you know, 30 to make it a habit, to make mm-hmm. it something that I could do day after day, and maybe even on those days when I fall down and I'm not your favorite present, which
it
I know
might happen.
Because I know it's
it
going
might happen.
To happen. How do I get back up and go, you know what? It's okay. Uh-huh. Like today wasn't the best of days, and yet I can still get back up and be Elisa's favorite present tomorrow.
Well, and I'm glad you talk about like just the scope of what that can feel like, because the intent behind this is not to be an episode that like weighs people down, right? And becomes this like, oh my gosh, I have to be like his or her favorite present every day. No, that's completely unrealistic. Like check yourselves for a quick second. That's how we're talking about. But stepping into this place that if the marriage is the priority and the person is a priority, like how, like you said, like how am I going to show up? How am I going to handle those things on rough days? Because, you know, it's interesting in so many of my coaching conversations, especially when I first meet new clients, I will ask a question somewhere in, you know, along the lines of, tell me who you fell in love with.
Mm.
Tell me about the person all those years ago that you fell in love with. Like, what was it about your spouse that made you know that he or she was the one? And if I can just give you some scope over the last, you know, 10 plus years of coaching, working with over 500 couples and individuals, I've never heard anyone tell me that they fell in love with something that their spouse gave them. Like, it was never about, well, he or she gave me this gift and that's how I knew.
Mm.
It was never about a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been like, I get, oh my gosh, you guys, I have so many when we first met stories in my brain. It's so amazing. But I would hear things in those about, you know, so-and-so's compassion or about how fun they were. A lot of you were a lot of fun when you first met your spouse. And some of you are smirking right now, even just hearing me say that, because you're like, yeah, I was. You're right, Lisa. I was fun. Where'd it go?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd it go? The energy that you brought to the relationship. I would hear about the consideration for you and for others. I, you know, for us, Tony and I had epic long conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody tells me that they would have these conversations that would go on and on for hours, I usually get a smirk on my face because I remember those.
Absolutely.
We were just having a conversation with our daughter about those conversations the other day and you know, cards that we would send. We were, you know, I mean, we met in the mid-90s, so we were like still snail mail and things like that. But the conversations, right? You talk to me when I ask that question. People talk to me about how there would be the hand-holding or the kisses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those gentle physical touch, like we couldn't go anywhere without him holding my hand, or, you know, she would always give me the sweetest kiss when we hadn't seen each other for a while. And it's so much of the person that you fell in love with was about the time that the two of you spent together and the things that you would do. And as I reflect on all of those stories, what I realized is that so much of being someone's favorite person, of being someone's favorite present, isn't about the gifts that we're given, right? Falling in love is not about the stuff. It's about who you are and how you show up.
Mm-hmm.
And really getting into this place where we say, okay, you know what? If I'm going to be my spouse's favorite present, like what are those characteristics? I often tell people, I'm like, what are the characteristics from all those years ago that we need to bring in? And what are some of the characteristics that maybe you've picked up along the way that you need to be like, that one is not serving me or us so well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because sometimes it's a combination of both. I will tell you, and we'll talk about this here in just a second. I will tell you some of the things that I've realized that I've had to like drop off because they don't make me Tony's favorite present. Like I'm well aware of my flaws. If you've coached with me, you know that I am perfectly willing to throw myself under the bus. I do that so Tony doesn't have to. But, you know, we want to talk about how you can be your spouse's favorite present this year. We're going to do that after this break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
We're back, and we're talking about being your spouse's favorite present. And I will say that it's super easy to get wrapped up in thinking about what to get your spouse. Mm-hmm. And yes, pun intended there on wrapped up. But what if you actually stopped thinking about what to get them and you started thinking about how you're going to show up, how you're going to present yourself, what you're going to do? Because I will tell you, whether you've been married for 2 weeks or, you know, 32 years, you know what's important to your spouse. You know what it's like to see them interact with people. And I hear this all the time. This is why I love coaching, because I get all of these insights, right? You know, like you see how they interact with people and get a smile on your face, on their face, right? What happens if you guys got back to the place where they were smiling when you two were talking? Right? You see how easy the banter can be. What happens if you say, you know what? I'm going to get into a place where we're having conversations that are fun and energetic. Like I'm going to bring that back. Right? What if there were more smiles than frowns?
Mm-hmm.
Getting into this place, right? Or not even frowns. Maybe it's just kind of like this neutral, because you're just so busy or disconnected that it's not even like anybody's like grumpy. You're just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hear what you're saying in this, and really I think what it comes down to, as much as we're talking about marriage, really this is the epitome of what can I do. Right? I mean, it's so easy, and I even in my own head just thinking about, okay, like what would that look like for me? And I keep sort of coming up around of like, oh, well, I could do this for Elisa. You know what I'm saying? And it really isn't that. I mean, my inkling is to just be like, oh, I could write Elisa a love letter. But I don't feel like that would be how I become your favorite present per se, right? I'm giving you something and I'm showing you my love that way. Mm-hmm. But what am I changing? What is happening internally that's mm-hmm. shifting, that creates... And I want to say harmony, because that's the word that really just hits me in right now in this moment, is how do I create harmony in the marriage?
Wow.
And what am I doing? And again, and for those of you in the one family, I'm working through this just like you are probably right mm-hmm. now, because Elisa is the marriage coach here. I don't sit across from other couples. That is Elisa. She is prophetic in it. She speaks directly to them. She sees things. She hears things. And she's amazing at it. Truly, truly is. And so I'm listening to her from a perspective of, wow, if I'm sitting across from her, what can I do? And I don't know right now. Like even as we're saying in doing this together, I'm at a loss. So if you are, it's okay. It's the process that we go through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in a podcast, it stirs the thought process. It stirs something inside of us. It doesn't mean we have to get it done now or figure it out right now, but it gets us moving. And so if you're the one listening, And I would say maybe your spouse isn't a listener, or they don't really, you know, see the way that you see the marriage at this point in time. Again, just like you, I'm doing this as, what can I do to be Elisa's favorite present every day? And I know that's a big task to fill. And so even in my own thought process, I'm like, okay, maybe it's not every day. And yet, can I make a step forward each day, maybe, where growth happens each month? Mm-hmm. And so by the end of a month, 6 months, 12 months, there is some visible, tangible change that happens.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I'm just
I've pushed him a little bit.
I'm chewing on this as well. Like, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like there's some food that you just eat and you chew and you swallow.
Like, it's good.
And you're like, it's good. Let's move on. There are other foods that you sit back on and you chew it and you're like, wow, this is really good. Like, this is really good. And I want to savor it. I want to enjoy it. And I think with this episode, it's one of those where it's one I'm chewing on. I'm savoring it. I'm trying to understand it. Because when we talk about like sexual intimacy, it's pretty cut and dry. Like, we can be like, oh yeah, well, let's just do this. But there are times in marriage that it's not always just, let's just do this. We go much deeper. We are humans. There are so many things that God has put inside of each and every one of us that makes us who we are. Mm-hmm. And then we come together in covenant with somebody else, and God has put into them who they are. And then we are bringing each other together, and we're bringing those two and going, okay, how are you going to be my favorite present? And how am I going to be your favorite present? Mm-hmm. There's a lot that just moves. Mm-hmm. And so that's all. I'm just trying to wrap my own head around, like, how can I do this?
Well, and, you know, again, my intent in... And if you guys don't know, even when it comes to episode creation, a lot of times, like, I'll float an idea past Tony, and he's like, yeah, that sounds good. You know, let's talk about it. Let's talk about a title. And then I run with creating the episode. Mm-hmm. And he often doesn't know the nuances of what we're talking about until right now. Like, this is real time, just like all of you.
Well, I've read the note, and yet Elisa has, like, especially something like this one, and there are others as well, but there's just a flow. Like, mm-hmm. again, from a coaching standpoint, this is different than me sitting down as a coach. Elisa's seen this as from a coaching perspective and wanting to impart this onto you and into you, so that way you can take it and go, how do I make my marriage extraordinary? Mm-hmm. I'm on the other side of this going like, okay, I'm just getting schooled by my own wife right now. In a good way.
Thank you for saying it was a good way. Yeah.
She's coaching me as well. And so I'm like you, the listener, today.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, so much of it, because I've thought about this over the year, and I don't think I told you this. This was like one of the things that I was really working to. It was kind of like an add-on break-off type mm-hmm. thing. Like bringing, how do I bring my best self? Like, constantly choosing to you know, self-reflect and go, okay, what's working, what's not internally, right? The mm-hmm. whole what can okay. I do? And so one of the things that, and I don't remember exactly when it happened this year, but you and I were in an argument, and I just remember in my head going, make eye contact with him. Like, I had this little voice just piping off. And because for those of you that don't know, my patterns from day one with Tony, and this actually predates Tony, but in conflict, I would look away. No eye contact. Like, I am not hanging in there with you. You can just yap, yap, yap all you want, and I'm not even listening to you. Like, shut down mode 100%. And so at some point in time this year, I was like, nah, you're going to make eye contact with him whenever there's conflict. And I'm not quite 100% this year, because I remember one distinct time that he started a conversation in bed about 9:30 at night, and I was just like, I'm not having this. And I totally tuned him out. But for the most part, this year, I'd say it's,
I remember that conversation.
The one in bed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a few months ago.
Yeah. About 90% I would give myself for this year of being able, when we're in conflict, to make eye contact and hang in there. And continue to engage in the conversation, not shut down. Again, this was not something I told Tony. It wasn't like, hey, babe, I'm going to do this and we're going to make a big production about it. It was just like, no, I'm just going to keep doing this.
Yeah, sometimes the what can I do? Your spouse never may never know the what can I do. It's just like me doing my I am statements and what I'm writing down every night. You know, after I write my I am statements, I write my best things down. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm telling Elisa every night. And I just do it.
Right.
And it's changed me. And I can be Elisa's favorite present because the act of doing those I am statements has literally changed me this year.
100%. And that's why I brought up just even me being able to choose to hang in there when there's conflict. Because it's not, again, not anything directly impacting Tony. Yes, I'm participating in the conversations, but it's thinking about those kinds of things. Guys, these aren't the tangible. This is why I say it's not the gifts under the tree that says, you know what, here's, you know, a handbag or a power tool or you know, whatever it is. It's saying, you know, what does it look like? You know, can I be their gift when I, you know, by choosing to put my phone down when we have a conversation, right? So that it's just being fully present so they have my presence and all of that. Can we get real about our finances so that we can plan for our future and we're not like, what the heck's going on every month? And every month feels like a, you know, like a brand new experience. Can we get into a place where date night is on the calendar and we are taking turns planning it this year because one spouse or the other is not going to have sole responsibility. Like, can you guys say this week, you know what? 12 dates. I get 6, you get 6. It's on the calendar. I'm planning my 6. You plan your 6. Ready, set, go. Mm-hmm. Right? Can we decide that this is going to be the year where, you know what? We might have 2 couches in front of the TV. And this is one for us because we've definitely gotten into our separate couch thing. Can we decide that we're going to, at least for part of the night, we're going to sit on the couch together and you know, hug, kiss, I don't know, have our feet touch, whatever it is. Like, those are the types of things, guys, that I'm talking about. The types of things that say, I see you and you're important to me and I'm going to connect with you some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm.
And even if your spouse doesn't know about it, and even just like even the cuddling on the couch, it's a simple act of getting up and moving. And I know for a fact that can be hard. Because what if our spouse rejects us? What if our spouse says, I don't want you sitting here? There's a lot of turmoil that can happen. And yet, we have to be courageous in our marriages. We have to stand up. We have to strengthen our pillars of intimacy to have the extraordinary marriage we desire. And it's something Elisa and I, just like you guys, you and the one family, we're working on this every day too. We still have our own struggles. They may be different than yours. They may be lesser. They may be more. And yet, each and every day, we're doing what we can do. And we're on this journey with you. Mm-hmm. And so, as you think about this today, and, you know, what you can do, like, to be your spouse's favorite present, as you think about this, what I come up with in my own mind is, what's one thing? Don't try to bite off and do it all. Like, if we're looking at recreational intimacy, how can you set up one date every other month for your spouse? That's it. And just do it. And at the end of the year, you've done it 6 times. And so I look at this stuff even for myself and go, what's the one thing I want to focus in on that allows me to grow? I'm looking at the what can I do, and I become Elisa's favorite present each and every day. And again, this is more of a concept that I'm still working through, and that's okay, because guess what? We're not perfect. We don't ever want you to think we're perfect. We're still a work in progress, just like you.
Well, I was just going to add to that. It's what I always tell my coaching clients. Look, you're not dead yet.
So keep on living.
So keep growing.
Yep.
Right? You're not dead. Keep going. Keep going after this thing called an extraordinary marriage.
Yep. So with that, you guys have yourselves a fantastic week. And more importantly, have a very Merry Christmas from Elisa, myself, our entire team here at One Extraordinary Marriage, we want you to have a blessed and Merry Christmas. So do know that we are praying for you, we are believing for you, and we're excited for what's ahead. You guys have yourselves a good one. We'll catch you next week. Love you guys.